Did you know that more Americans departed for wars on foreign soil from Fort Wayne in Detroit, Michigan, than any other military facility in the United States? But it's got a huge history of paranormal activity. In a moment, we'll be talking about the Metro Paranormal Group on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Well, we're starting our pre-Halloween week now. We've got a couple more weeks to go for Halloween, but now we begin. Chris Forsythe and Wayne Miracle founded Metro Paranormal to assist anyone experiencing unexplained activity and using what they call a strict set of protocols when investigating reports of paranormal activity. The MPI reviews all evidence. Any anomalous findings are further examined by multiple team members in an attempt to determine the nature of the data collected. They also actively search for more conventional reasons for reported activity, attempting to find rational explanations for conditions reported by their clients. And here they are, Chris and Wayne. Hello, you two. How are you?
Hey, not bad, George. Good morning to you from Michigan.
Oh,
morning,
yeah. George. My town. Are you close to Detroit?
Oh, yeah. I'm in Macomb here, not too far from Dearborn either.
Know it well. Selfridge Air Force Base, still out there, I assume, isn't it?
Absolutely. Right down the road.
I remember when I was a kid, they had the greatest UFO story there that two kids took a picture of that was in the Detroit News. Just amazing stuff. Probably ended up being a hoax, but it was still pretty good at the time.
Area 51 of Michigan, you know.
You got it. Tell me a little bit about the historic Fort Wayne out there in Detroit.
Well, historic Fort Wayne is located on the riverfront in Detroit on the end of Livernois Avenue. It's a star fort that was actually taken off of a French design that was around prior to the American Civil War and was active up until the early 80s, and then it was turned into a museum. Unfortunately, right now, it's kind of just used for special events and all that.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, a lot of the site has fallen into disrepair. There's actually a coalition, Fort Wayne Coalition, a group of individuals that are trying to restore the fort and save some of the Detroit's local history.
Chris, tell me about the paranormal history that's occurred there. It's been going on for a long time, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, George. You have stories dating back to right about the turn of the century. As a matter of fact, one of the earliest apparition photos that was taken of the facility was taken around the turn of the century, what we believe is a post-Civil War century standing at the end of one of the sally ports. And throughout the years, there's been thousands and thousands of stories from soldiers, personnel, visitors, pictures taken. We ourselves got a partial apparition photo in the thing. Now, we're not really sure what it is, but it kind of looks like one.
Wayne, how did you and Chris get involved in the Metro Paranormal Group and put it together?
Well, it was actually kind of funny. We ran into each other online and started talking. You know, we shared the interest in the paranormal, and, you know, Chris was starting to get Metro Paranormal off the ground. He asked me, you know, hey, would you like to help me get this thing going? You know, we met. We hit it off right off the bat. You know, we formed a pretty good friendship, and over the period of time, most of the members that we have, we all met online. We didn't know each other beforehand, and we've been going strong for about 4 years. We've got a great group of people, individuals from all different backgrounds, and it's definitely been an interesting ride the last 4 years.
You know, I like the fact that you both try to get, you know, rational explanations for these events before you dive into the paranormal possibilities. You know, you weed that out first.
A lot of the things that people may, you know, think is paranormal is actually something normal or an environmental occurrence that they just don't understand. We've had cases where it's just an electrical problem in the home, you know, that we've been able to discover. We had one lady who said she had what looked like current flowing through her ceiling. And it was an older home, and what she had done was put a drop ceiling in her living room, and she screwed through the plaster into the metal mesh and then into a wire that still had current going through it. So she created an electrical grid in her ceiling, which created the flashes and stuff that she was attributing to being paranormal.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But you have come across a lot of paranormal activity, haven't you?
Yeah, surprisingly, we've come across a few things we can't explain. It's you know, we try our best to come up with, a normal logical explanation for things, but there have been a number of instances where, you know, we just can't come up with a reason that we can figure out yet why it's happening.
Well, it's like one of those things, too, George, when you're left with nothing else, no rational, logical conclusion of what something is, I mean, what else could it be? Is it paranormal? Paranormal is such a wide-based word. I mean, but it is something like strange, like Wayne himself had a door fall out on him one time. We've captured some awesome audio clips. We've captured some movement on video. Now, it's not like Hollywood where, you know, the walls are bleeding or anything else like that. Unfortunately, that plays a huge part of people's conception of a haunting. It's always very, very minute, but when you can eliminate all the natural phenomenon and use proper documentation to be able to go through everything and eliminate those, check them off, just like you would with anything else that you want to do, and then you have this awesome clip, and, it's fantastic.
Chris, take us on a paranormal outing and paint a picture for us. Just take us through one. And,
from the very start?
Yeah.
Okay, well, from the very start, we get contacted many ways from clients. It would be an email. It would be a phone call. It would be just on the street, which has happened before. And then what we would do is we'd get in contact with those people. We'd give them a phone interview. And then we'd take, you know, very detailed notes. And then we would set up a consultation. And within that consultation, there's a very, very strict guidelines that we use, a questionnaire that we use to fill out. And then there's also baseline readings and an environmental study of the home. And then after that, we sit down, we come back, we do some more research, and then an investigation date is set up. And that's if an investigation date is warranted, if we haven't found natural causes at that point. And while all this is going on, our research department is thoroughly going through both geographical data, landmark data, data from the homeowner's history, and then the investigation would take place. And then that could range anywhere from 6, 8, 10 hours to a weekend as needed. And then all that data would come back. It would be reviewed by every member of the team. And it takes about a month to go through all of that. And once all of that's gone, if we do have any valid samples, and we go back and that's all published in a report, and then we actually go back and meet with the client again, and we report our findings at that time. And, you know, if another investigation date is needed, we set that up as well. And, you know, it's good when we can go ahead and give that information, a published report to the client as well as the evidence. We have a very strict review of our evidence process, so that's why that whole process takes so long.
These paranormal events at Fort Wayne, the historic Fort Wayne, were they based also on, let's say, fallen soldiers who came back and they stayed around this fort? Or do you think they passed on there a long, long time ago?
I think it varies. Some of the stories that we've heard, some of the evidence we've captured, there is a story, like Chris was talking about, the first apparition photo taken in the Sallyport. The story of that gentleman is, his name is William Tasker. And from the records that they've been able to pull, is the day of his death, he was suffering a toothache, and his wife was pregnant. She was giving birth, and he asked to be relieved. Well, they wouldn't relieve him from duty.
Oh.
And what was happening is they were moving one of the cannons down one of the ramps towards the Sallyport. Well, the cannon broke loose and started sliding. Well, he unfortunately decided to hide behind one of the Sallyport doors, and that's what the cannon hit.
Crushed him.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's stories of soldiers still walking their patrols inside the fort, along the perimeter of the fort, out in the actual serviceman's neighborhood out there. I mean, just the stories and reports from that place. It sits on, you know, 93 acres. It's a huge location to try to cover.
What have you both concluded about what's out there on the other side? You first, Wayne.
To be honest with you, I really don't know. During the years that we've done this, I think there's something. I personally have never seen a ghost or a spirit or apparition.
Do you believe in life after death?
My own personal beliefs, yes, I do.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I think there's something out there. Some of the evidence that we've captured, some of the experiences that I've had happen, I can't explain what made those things happen. And that's kind of the, you know, we've gotten some pretty good audio, especially from the fort, that sounds like it's an intelligent response. So there has to be something making that response, you know.
And Chris, what do you think? What's on the other side?
Well, you know, that's a staged question. I mean, as far as my personal belief, I have had activity and I have seen what I believe to be a full-bodied apparition. However, I'm careful to be skeptical of saying that there is something out there. I do believe that we have captured some very anomalous things that could present the case that there actually is life after death. And that's on a scientific standpoint. On a theological standpoint, I would hope that, you know, the stuff that there would be a hope of life after death, and if we were actually to capture a full-bodied apparition or something like that, actually interacting with one of the team members, it would give a proof of that. Now, you know, at the end of the day, would the average person be convinced that spirits, ghosts, entities, or whatever you decide to call them at that time of day, actually exist? Well, I guess it's a personal journey for each and every member, whether you're a team member or you're just a person that actually happens to see something or feel something. I mean, so there's a lot of different things that come into it. I mean, it's really hard to say, George. I mean, it's good that we can help people understand what might be happening to them, but, you know, can we ever fully be able to take it and prove it? I guess that's the thing.
We're going to play a couple clips of some of the EVP files you sent us. And the first one is from set one. Which one of you wants to explain what this is that we're going to be listening to?
I believe that was – I'll go ahead and field that one.
Okay. Set one, what is that?
That is taken from the Locker Room Saloon in downtown Utica. Me and the owner were actually – it's kind of funny. Me and the owner were actually downstairs, and I was telling him a story – of one of the claims at Fort Wayne. And you hear me talking about how cold it was outside, and we believe the clip, there's a clip in between me speaking that wasn't either one of us speaking. And we believe that it's, you know, it's actually saying that isn't a lie.
Okay, well, let's listen to this first, the set one here.
Had to be below zero. And that was outside.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's kind of faint. You know, we do have some better clips, but that one, I'm telling a story about a story I heard, and it's just kind of interesting that you would hear something saying that isn't a lie. You know,
and we've isolated the EVP sound all by itself, so let's listen to that now. Yeah, you can hear. You could hear him say, that's a lie, or whatever it was.
And those are the things that, you know, they make you wonder, okay, why did that happen? Who said that? Where did that voice come from?
Now, the next set was, is you called set eight. Well, tell me what that the situation is.
Set eight.
Yeah, that one is in Fort Wayne. That's probably one of the best audio clips that we've captured. We have a criminal defense lawyer that's on our team, so he's not easily creeped out. He's seen a lot of things.
And I can tell you what, George, after he had heard this clip, I got a call at 11:35 one night, and he said, I'm done.
All right, we're going to listen to it, then we're going to isolate it again. Go ahead.
Okay.
If you're here, do you want to talk to us? Are you the one that just slammed that door?
Okay, we're going to listen to the isolated cut now, Chris and Wayne, but tell us what it said, because it's easier to hear when we know it.
Well, we believe, and it's pretty obvious once you actually, you'll, for your listeners, hear it again. We believe it says, "Leave me alone."
All right, we're going to listen to this now, isolated three times. Here it goes. I got to tell you, what's amazing, too, is when we know what it says, you know, you just told us, it makes it sound even clearer when you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
The mind, I guess, the brain somehow pulls that out and creates a distinction.
Well, I can tell you something a little bit about that clip, which even makes it more interesting for us, George, is that after we had gotten that clip, the next day, we were just walking around the fort, you know, checking out some different locations of it because it was a weekend-long investigation. We ran into Colonel David Jamroz, who happens to be one of the fort's leading historians. And he had been in the same area that had taken. We had gotten that EVP, and he had actually heard that audibly not 72 hours before.
Those you know, EVPs are tough to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on the radio, but those two clips were pretty distinct. They're pretty scary. Have you come across children in EVP sounds, the sounds of kids?
We actually believe in at least one audio clip that we do have. It does sound like a young female voice, or that sounds like she's humming. We were actually in the Redford Theater in Detroit. And you had two female investigators upstairs in the old dressing room areas. And that would lead to the backside of the stage. And you hear them reacting to what sounds like a little girl humming, and then they decide to be quiet for a few seconds. And then next thing you hear is you actually hear, oh, it sounds like a young female humming.
All right, Chris, what do you do on Halloween when you go out?
What do I do on Halloween? Oh, I trick-or-treat and dress up as Garfield, George. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, this Halloween, normally we just all kind of get together, have a little party, but this Halloween we're actually going to be down at historic Fort Wayne giving a ghost tour.
Are you?
Yes, okay. Sir. Yes, sir.
That sounds like fun. And
You know, as far as, you know, investigating, we do try to give back to, you know, the people. You know, Fort Wayne needs a lot of help, and what we've done is, started some ghost tours down there, try to raise some money to help restore the place, keep the doors open.
You know what's so neat about this is people from all walks of life, all age brackets, love these ghost stories, and they love these ghost tours, and they just like this entire environment. I've never seen anything where more people in such a wider range of ages just congregate and like this.
Well, I can tell you one thing, George. You talk about the reaction of people and how much people are actually getting into the phenomenon. Which is paranormal investigation, and you know, just the stories in general. I mean, haven't been any time in human history where people sitting around a campfire haven't loved a good ghost story. But you know, it really gives me satisfaction when we can actually put something out there. You know, reports, and we deal a lot with people that, you know, the network of people that we've met and got to know through all this. And you know, I love sitting down and talking to them. And I love people emailing us pictures and interacting with them, too, and exchanging ideas, exchanging, you know, stories and you know, saying, hey, you might have caught something in that photo. It's been a wonderful ride being able to give back and it, you know, talk for everybody.
It is a wide age range. We've got people from, you know, the 12, 13-year-olds that want to come out all the way up into their 70s that come down to the fort to experience this. So, I mean, I think, you know, the paranormal right now, it's pretty hot. It's grown in popularity, you know, and I think a lot of people are opening their mind to accepting this type of phenomena.
Absolutely. It is huge. And we're going to come back and take phone calls with you, Chris and Wayne, not only about your paranormal investigating, maybe some tips for people, but also perhaps they have a story or two they want to share with us on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Joel Martin, Bill Burns joins us. The Haunting of America They have come up with an incredible story from the Salem witch trials to Harry Houdini. That'll be our next Coast to Coast show. When we come back, we'll take phone calls with Chris and Wayne, the paranormal, metroparanormal.org group on Coast to Coast AM. Chris, when you're out and people find out what you do, do they just attack you? Are they all over the place trying to get more information?
Well, I wouldn't use the word attack, George. That's a little strong, but I do get approached a lot, you know, because you know, you'll just be out, and that's why I carry some business cards. I mean, most of the people that come up, and they just want to know about it. You know, there's always two sides to that. Either it's really cool or you're crazy. So, you know, I try to answer as many questions as I can and, you know, refer them back to our website and just let it, kind of bring them to the inside, let them know what it's all about.
Well, speaking of attack, though, have you ever been attacked in a paranormal investigation? Not by a human, but by a spirit.
No. I myself have never physically been attacked or touched. Not that we haven't tried to make that happen before. I'm sure a lot of my team members wouldn't mind me seeing getting smacked around by some kind of unseen thing.
If it was on camera, they'd love it.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be on YouTube right now.
Yeah, I could point and laugh. It'd be hilarious.
As long as it's not you, Wayne.
But yeah, the closest I've ever had, I had a door fly out right behind me.
Yeah, he was saying
off the hinges, I mean, up against the wall. That was probably my weirdest experience. But
Was it if the entity was trying to throw the door at you?
I was standing in a doorway with my back turned to it, and I actually had a bunch of people with me. I was turned around facing them in a hallway, telling them the story of the room, and I just happened to turn my head to the right, and I see the corner of the door hit the wall behind me, and you know, about maybe a foot away from me. You know, and I turn back and look at everybody, and, you know, the eyes are huge, the mouths are dropped, you know. And I'm thinking to myself something I can't say on the radio. And, you know, but I'm like, okay, I can't run. I've got all these people here. And, you know, I just turn around, and I'm like, that was pretty interesting. And, you know, I proceeded to pick up the door and throw it back in the closet. But it was definitely something that, that's my biggest experience doing this. It's something that's made me wonder, how in the world does that happen?
Absolutely. Well, we've got more calls than time, so let's start. Let's go west of the Rockies, Phoenix, Arizona. Darren, go ahead. You're on with us.
Great show, great host, great guest. My question is regarding the Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego. I just recently stayed there, and I actually stayed in the famous Kate Morgan room, and a lot of nonsensical things happened, like the speakerphone going on by itself, and in order to do that, you have to press that button and whatnot. And I was wondering if you guys had ever investigated there or planned to, and I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
Thank you.
Any of you familiar with that place?
I've heard of it, actually. Yes, I have. I'd love to get down there. You know, unfortunately, being a being an all-volunteer organization, sometimes our travel is limited. But yeah, that is on one of our high-priority places to go for sure if we ever get a chance.
There were rumors that Kate died by suicide, or that she might have been killed. She was waiting there for 5 days for her boyfriend, her lover, to show in room 3327.
Yep.
And I wouldn't want to stay in that room overnight, but you guys would do that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. We would just be wiring up the camera, wiring up the room like a bank, and have audio recorders and stuff. And it's pretty interesting that he had said that the speakerphone kept coming on. Electrical disturbances are actually one of the things that seem to happen in locations that have paranormal activity. But, you know, that would be something we'd have to closely monitor to make sure that it just wasn't a malfunctioning device.
Okay, but you're there as a group. Would you go there all by yourself one night?
Oh, I would, absolutely. But I'd still have my equipment with me. Come on.
Oh, that's true. I mean, it's like an appendage for you guys, isn't
it? Of course.
Pretty much.
Let's go to Jamie in Atlanta, Georgia, east of the Rockies. Jamie, you're on with Chris and Wayne. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I heard a study this morning on NPR about how classically trained musicians are better capable to decipher individual voices in recordings of crowded rooms. And I was wondering if you'd ever applied that to your EVP research, if maybe classically trained musicians could better decipher what maybe recorded spirits are saying in all the noise and the noise floor in the background and everything like that. Has that ever come up?
As far as using classically trained musicians, that's actually a new one to me. I've actually been wanting to get I've been contacted by a lady just recently that's blind. And as you know, anybody that is blind, their senses would be overpowering. So what I was trying to do is trying to see if she might want to come along with us and, you know, use her in some of our EVP research. But as far as using different tools like musicians that do have that extra ear sensory,
yeah,
it'd be great to use.
That would be fascinating to see what they hear.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Let's go to Salt Lake City, Utah. Scott, you are up with us. Hi,
hey,
Scott.
Hey, it's great to be talking with you guys. Hey, George, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to ask you guys, do you ever notice that usually the people that seem to have the most paranormal experiences are usually the people that are more open to it? Like, a lot of people that don't really, you know, go into that walk of life or really, you know, they don't seem to, you know, experience a lot because they're just not really, you know, open to the experience. And it's just funny that, you know, it is that way, because I have a lot of people in my own family that don't believe in it, but you notice they're not the people that are looking for it either.
Well, actually, we've had both sides. We've had people who, you know, have these things happen. They can't explain it. I mean, and they're firmly against, you know, it being something paranormal, but they don't know who else to turn to.
Right.
And we've also done, we've tried to do, like, demographic studies to see, okay, is it lower income, middle class, or upper class individuals who experience this, you know, from the cases we go. And actually, we found that it's pretty even. You know,
yeah,
we've been to, you know, as far as the demographics go, all the types of locations you would imagine, and we've actually, in this field, yeah, you're gonna find more individuals who are open to it that experience it just because they're open to it. I think a lot of people who are not would probably refuse to call us because that's not what they want to believe in. But we have had people who have had experiences that have changed their mind, who wanted nothing to do with it and finally got to their, you know, the end of their rope and said, okay, can you guys come check this out? I don't know what it is.
What is your opinion of orbs, Wayne?
I'm actually not a big fan. We kind of take the, I'm not going to say that orbs aren't real. I've just never seen what can actually be considered a real orb. Anything
right,
that we can duplicate so easily, to me, has to be a normal phenomenon.
Via light reflection and things like that?
Yeah, a true orb I should be able to take in a dark room with no flash on my camera and it should be lighting up. I've never seen one.
Chris, do you agree with him?
Yeah, I have some very colorful adjectives that I'll reserve for later conversations, George, on regarding orbs. But yeah, it's, you know, orbs themselves could be a lot of things. They could be pollen, dust, pet dander, human skin dander. You know, and like I said, I believe 99.999% of what people call orb photography is nothing more than just natural phenomenon that's misunderstood.
You two ever been to Miller's Bar in Dearborn, Michigan? The best hamburgers in the world.
No, but I think I'm going to be going there tomorrow for lunch.
Well, you do that, and then on my next trip into Detroit to see my parents, we have to meet there. I mean, I'm telling you, the best you will ever have.
George, I'll extend a personal invitation. Next time you're in town, look me up. I'll buy you lunch.
You got a deal. You know, they don't give you a bill, Chris. They tell you when you're done eating or ordering or whatever you've done, they say the place is packed. But they'll go up to you and say, what did you have? And it's the honor system. I've never seen anything like that before.
Wow. Yeah, in today's society, that's pretty rare.
And the place has been there, gosh, forever.
What's the name again?
Miller's Bar, and it's on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn.
Okay, I think Chris and I are going to have a
paranormal, I don't want to call it a date because he's a guy, but
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We're going to have
a meeting, a paranormal
meeting down there. But yeah, I live in the pier, so it's a good little distance, but we are down there quite frequent, down that way quite frequently.
It's well worth the trip. Tulsa, Oklahoma, we go. Hey, Jerry, you're up with us. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, good day to you all. George, I love your show. Like I said, I'm a fairly new listener. I've only been listening for a couple of weeks, but the topics that you have are just, they're great. They cause the mind to think. And my question for the paranormal guys I have seen a lot of these paranormal TV shows on satellite and cable TV. What is it that separates you and what you do from those kind of generic shows? What is it that sets you apart?
Well, you know, first and foremost, we don't have a giant camera crew following us around. What everybody sees on TV, especially involving an active case file or, you know, a location, that's such a small, small sliver of what actually happens in there. A lot of us, most of the team, is actually business professionals in their everyday lives. And what we tried to do is when we formed Metro Paranormal Investigation, it was to actually take it and step up the process a notch, to use the professionalism that we use in our everyday lives and bring that to the same thing that when we present it to our clients. That includes the proper documentation techniques. That includes the investigation techniques. We've actually practiced investigation techniques, developed new equipment that, we just don't take. We study theory. We study both sides of the coin, both the scientific as well as the metaphysical. We actually make sure that we take all this stuff and field it. Our reporting process is second to none. Our contact and continual relationship with our clients is something that we pride ourselves in. So it's the entire package that most people don't see on these shows that sets the paranormal investigation teams, you know, apart.
Do you get some media write-ups out there from either the Detroit News, Free Press, or local TV or anything like that?
Oh, that's actually funny you mentioned that. We were actually the main story front page of the Detroit Free Press last Monday.
Super.
Yeah, it was a surprise to us. We thought we were just going to have a little story in the lifestyle section. And it was kind of interesting walking into the gas station that morning and seeing my face right there on the, you know, main story front page. It was a little surreal for us.
Now, has the phone been ringing after that?
Yes.
Yes, I can answer the question. And, you know, a lot of the questions that people have are like a lot of the questions that your listeners are actually asking us. And to me, you know, for the past week, to be able to answer questions as far as shape-shifting to hauntings are something that I'm really glad to hear from people, and I'm glad that it gave them an outlet to express these things that they've been thinking about for a long time and things that are going on in their lives that they can really have no one else to turn to. It's been fantastic that we can actually help these people address what's going on.
Have either one of you come across anything demonic on any of your investigations?
Personally, we had one home that was believed to be like a non-human entity. We normally don't use sensitives or psychics. Not that we have anything against them. We try to take the scientific aspect, but we do have one that we consult with and bring them at the client's request. The homeowner was experienced, you know, activity. She was a little frightened. The story was there was a young teenager, mixed nationality, had a lot of things going on in his head, and apparently he was practicing some black magic.
Conjured them up, huh?
Yeah. He had his altar downstairs and stuff like that. So we actually got to go in and document a ritual of them doing a cleansing type, you know, ritual where they supposedly captured this entity in this vial, you know, stuck it in a bucket with salt, filled it with cement, and, you know, dumped it in a lake. But that's the only time that we've ever had what could be considered something evil. It's not something that's, you know, common.
And you can feel that, though, can't you, when you're out there?
To be honest with you, George, I don't claim to have any sense of psychic ability or anything like that. I'm not one to necessarily get feelings. Sometimes you do get a vibe that something's going on, but you know, as far as feeling anything, I've never really had that.
Well, I like you too. You're straight shooters, and I think that's refreshing. Let's go go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, you know, George, that's the one thing that we try and do is take a very common sense, logical approach to all this. We take the whole attitude of where a lot of people, unfortunately, I'm going to have to revert back to Hollywood here. Hollywood has tainted, you know, a lot of people's, and this is from the beginning, you know, the beginning of the motion picture industry and the still pictures and the silent films. It's always painted everything that could be paranormal in a very, very negative light. You turn on the TV today and you see, you know, oh, someone's got a ghost in their house. It's evil. It's demonic,
right,
you know.
Right, right, right. Well, that's what sells tickets. Well, wait till you guys see Paranormal Activity.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're saying. That's they hype it like that, but they draw the people in.
Well, exactly. That's great, but it also takes a lot of the clients that do have, you know, activity in their home, and it scares them even worse. I can't tell you, you know, and we have to, you know, call them and try and talk them down off the ledge and say, hey, look, it's not what you see on TV.
And yeah, I think one of the original, our main lines is, okay, let's take Hollywood out of this equation here, and, you know, mm-hmm. let us come in and we're going to try to come up with a logical explanation for this. And if we can't, we'll document it and we'll see what we can do. You know, we try to make the client feel comfortable in their situation. It's their home. You know, regardless of whether there's something there, they're the ones that are alive. I've never known anybody actually to ever be hurt from this in our experiences. So
far.
Right.
You never know. Well, Chris, give out your website, would you please?
Our website is www.metroparanormal.org.
Metroparanormal.org, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Both of you, happy haunting, as they used to say.
Yeah,
Thank you,
right back at you, George. And next time you're in Michigan, please, you know, send me an email. I still owe you a hamburger, bud.
You got it. We'll track you both down. Chris Forsythe and Wayne Miracle, metroparanormal.org. By the way, email us your Halloween and ghost stories. You can send them to afterlife148@yahoo.com. And you just might end up on the program on Friday, October 30th. afterlife148@yahoo.com. Producer Tom is assembling a list of people. Include, if you would, in your story, your phone number. And, you know, he will screen them out and get back to you. We're trying to do something a little differently on Friday night as Ian has Ghost to Ghost on Saturday. So that's afterlife148@yahoo.com. Send your scariest Halloween or ghost stories straight to producer Tom. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.